Good morning.
It's great to see you. Thank you for taking time to join with us on this Good Friday. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 if you want to turn there. While you're turning there, let me just remind you we're together on Sunday at 11 o'clock for a family service. And I understand there's going to be a special performance in that. So if you can join us, I'm sure it'll be a great morning together as we celebrate the risen and conquering Saviour. And then the 17th of April, we've a prayer and worship evening here with other Elam churches in the Northeast. If you're able to join us for that, that'd be wonderful. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23 says, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It's Good Friday, and in a few moments we're going to break bread together. Proclaiming his death until he comes. But as we gathered, I wanted to take the opportunity to remind you, his body was given for you, and his blood was poured out for you. Christ died for us. And Good Friday is uncomfortable at times because we live in this tension of the brutality that Jesus faced in his torture and execution. And yet it was the redemptive plan of God. Jesus gave himself up for our sake as an atoning sacrifice. It is a demonstration of love. And I've come this morning to proclaim he loves me. 1 John 3 and verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. 1 John 4 and verse 9. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Romans 5 and verse 6. While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live now in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This morning I've come to proclaim he loves me. As we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, I'm reminding myself this morning, he loves me. Whatever's going on in the world, whatever's happening in my life, he loves me. He died for me. And I want to remind myself of that. I want to remind myself this morning, I am forgiven. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Galatians 3 and verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 1 John 2 and verse 1, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sin, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 3 and verse 5, you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Romans 6 and verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that Christ was raised from the dead. He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. It's good news this morning. I am forgiven for the things I've got wrong. He is the atoning sacrifice for my sins, but sin is no longer my master because Christ died for me. I don't have to do it. It doesn't rule me anymore. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made a footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. I am free from my sin this morning. He remembers it no more. And I am free to live righteously, not bound by sin, not entangled and imprisoned with it. It doesn't rule me anymore. And as I proclaim his death, I'm reminding myself of that. As I proclaim his death, I am reminding myself I am reconciled with God this morning. Romans 5 and verse 10. For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Colossians 1 and verse 9. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body, faith established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel. The enemy of God. But Christ died for me. And now I am reconciled to him. I am able to boldly approach the throne of grace this morning. Not because of me, but because Jesus died for me. And so I'm going to proclaim his death this morning. And it seems like a weird phrase. Proclaim his death until he comes. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. But there is so much that he did for you in dying that I've got a lot to proclaim. And don't get me wrong, he was treated badly. But it's a Good Friday for us. Great things happened at the cross for us. It's a good day. Jesus loved me and gave himself up for me. He dealt with the debt that I owed that I could not pay. And he freed me from my bondage to sin. He reconciled me to God. And he dealt with death. Hebrews 2 and verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shed in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by fear of death. By his death, he broke the power of the devil and freed us from the fear of death. Even though I die, I'm going to live. Hebrews 9 and verse 26. He has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. I've come to proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. To celebrate this morning, Jesus Christ died for me. That he was pierced for my iniquities. Crushed for my sin. The punishment that brought me peace was on him. And by his wounds, I'm healed. And he's coming back. And it's not over. And it's not done. But whilst I live in this world, I want to remind myself he loves me. He loves me. That the one who reigns supreme, who is sat down at the right hand of the Father, is praying for me this morning. He ever lives to make intercession for me. He loves me. And he knows me. He knows me. He knows who I am. He knows what I am. But he loves me. And he died for me. Demonstrating his love for me. And he's freed me from sin. And he's dealt with my debt. He's reconciled me to God. He's dealt with death. And he's coming back. So we're going to have communion together. Now, I don't want you to think I'm unorganized. But I found out this morning we didn't have enough of those little plasticky pods. So, there is bread and juice for those of you who are happy to share. And if you're a bit risk averse, there's bowls with little plastic pods in them. We've covered all bases, eh? It's like it was planned. I'm going to invite you, as and when you're ready, to come to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. To remind yourselves, this was good. God was doing something good. And there's something that is really important in this, because it looks awful. But God was doing something good. It wasn't a pleasant experience. Some of you today might take time to read the gospel accounts of his crucifixion. It wasn't really pretty, but God was doing something good. It matters that you know that, because life's not always really pretty. But he is always at work for the good of those who love him. And he's going to work it all together for good. Even if it's not pretty. I need to shut up. But when you're ready, come. Proclaim his death. Celebrate what he did for you. Remind yourself you are loved with an everlasting love. You are free from your sin. You are reconciled to God, adopted as his child, brought into the family, given an entitlement and an inheritance in the future. It's good.